Amen. Once again, I give honor to your great pastor, Brother Grisham. I want to thank him for his hospitality and his kindness, the invitation of allowing me to be here. Amen. I want to thank the dear ladies that prepared the wonderful meal after church last night, the turkey and dressing. We had Thanksgiving before Thanksgiving, and enjoyed it very, very much. Thank you from the bottom of our hearts, and thank you for all that you have done for us. Amen. There's stuff on the table outside tonight. You know the drill. You know the speech. Just let the Lord direct you. Amen. I'll talk more about the table tomorrow, but we're going to have church tonight. Amen. I feel like that last night we broke into something. At lunch this afternoon with Brother Grisham, he began to express to me that he felt like something had broken in the spirit. And I believe that with all of my heart, this church will never be the same. Your mentality, your mission, and the way we work for God, the way that we pray, it will never be the same. Amen. So tonight, I'm just going to flow in the same vein. I'm going to preach a second part of what I ministered last night. I'm reading from 1 John again, the third chapter. The book of 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. I want to minister from this subject, God's Ultimate Mission, part 2. The sequel, God's Ultimate Mission. Father, anoint your word in the name of Jesus. I take authority and dominion over anything and everything that would be in opposition to your will and to your purpose. God, let your word be fulfilled. Let it not return void. Fill people with the Holy Ghost tonight. Fill all of us with the Holy Ghost tonight. Do the work that needs to be done. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Last night we highlighted, we touched on, and we exposed the strategy and the mission of Satan in our lives. But we also talked about very thoroughly and very in depth the reality of the mission of why Jesus Christ came into the world in the first place. And that was to totally annihilate, destroy, dismantle, and tear down the kingdom of Lucifer. I believe that with all of my heart. And I also believe that his work did not end at the cross. He is still destroying the work of the enemy today. Amen. I'm going to be quite honest with you. I can feel the spirit of the prince of the power of the air in the city of Athens. But besides all that, and on top of that issue and doctrine, there is a greater power. There is a greater authority. There is somebody by the name of Jesus. He is taking care of the enemy. He's taking care of the works of the enemy in our lives. His deception, his evil, his lies, his trickery, his schemes, the games that he plays with our minds. I'm going to tell somebody tonight in the Holy Ghost, you need to stop listening to the devil. You young people need to stop listening to the devil. And all of you need to stop listening to the devil. When we stop listening to the devil, that's when revival is going to break in our lives, in this church, in this service. before the Spirit of God moved in the unprecedented way that it did last night, which I believe there's going to be no exception tonight. We talked about how Christ has undertaken holy war with the enemy. We also talked about sin in our lives, different things, different vices. We also touched on areas of being ruled by certain things, and we established that when one sins and one lives in sin and allows sin to control them, that they are of the devil. They are simply of the devil. The Bible does not get any more clear than that. We spoke about people that are ruled by unforgiving spirits, that they're of the devil. People that sin are of the devil. People that live immoral lifestyles are of the devil. Why do you rush to the conclusion, Brother Calk, that they're of the devil? Well, let me follow that up with another question. Well, it's not of God, so who is it of? There's no in-betweens. There's not another entity. We are either serving the master of the universe or we are serving the prince of darkness. We've got to make up in our mind who we belong to. We also talked about the enemy having ownership of us, ownership of our thoughts, ownership of our lives. Somebody wrote on Facebook several weeks ago that when we allow people to bother us, we are giving them a room rent-free in our minds. Come on, it wasn't that deep. The truth of the matter is, when we allow discouragement to set in, when we live in anger toward other people, we're not helping them. They are controlling us. They're controlling the way we act. They are controlling our mentality and our mindset. Oh, Brother Calk, I thought that this was revival. I thought that this was a Holy Ghost revival. We cannot have true revival in our life until we make up in our minds that I belong to Jesus. I am a child of the King. His royal blood now flows through our veins. Come on, somebody. It's time to allow the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords to take ownership, to take precedence of our thoughts, of our lives, of every area of our entire being. Amen. You want to hear something nice and pretty? Come tomorrow morning. I have a little message on the Holy Ghost that I'm going to preach, because I believe there's going to be people here that need the Holy Ghost. You want to shout? You want to dance? Come back tomorrow night. But the truth of the matter is, we're here to do warfare tonight. We're here to establish and determine what side of the line we're on tonight. God is ready to give this church revival. God is ready to pour out His Spirit. God is ready to take this church to the promised land. But we've got to make up in our minds and in our hearts that we belong to Him. We're not children of the devil. We're not children of darkness. We're children of the King. And He said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Whatsoever we find on earth, it shall be found in heaven. And whatsoever we loose on earth, it shall be loosed in heaven. I'm glad that I know Him tonight in the power of the Holy Ghost. And so, Therefore, it is established. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. The reason why Israel could not proceed to the promised land, it's because there was sin in our life. We've got to call things out for what they are. We preach about repentance. You've got to repent of your sins. And we talk about it in such a generic fashion. But where are the preachers that define and name the sin in our lives? Well, it's right whether you want to believe it or not. As Jeff Arnold says, you can sit there like Mount Rushmore, you can shout. It doesn't make any difference. The Word of God hadn't changed. Amen. Jealousy is still sin. Lust is still sin. Pornography is still sin. Rock music is still sin. Ungodly television shows and videos and internet is still sin. I'm really fixing to get out there. Immodesty is still sin. Worldliness is still sin. A church that looks like the world is still sin. Come on. The Bible says to come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. You're an evangelist. You shouldn't be talking about that kind of stuff. It's in the Word of God. A church that wants real revival, a church that wants a real move of God, doesn't mind the Spirit getting into our private life and getting into our closet and getting into our areas and getting into our comfort zone. Come on, somebody. I didn't come to play patty cake tonight. I didn't come to go through the motions tonight. I came to do warfare with the enemy of my soul and the enemy of yours. But we've got to determine what side of the line that we're on. And we've got to give the Jesus a chance to destroy the works of the devil in our lives. And so, we're never going to be able, and God's never going to be able, to destroy the works of the enemy in our lives until we identify them. I'm fixing to step out there a little further. There's some of you last night that you should have had the breakthrough that you should that God wanted to give you. But the reality is, I don't know what's going on in your life, but you know, and God knows, you're hanging on to things that's going to drag your soul to a devil's hell. You're holding on to things and devices and spirits in your life that's going to destroy you. And if you're not careful, they're going to destroy other people that are around you. You've got to get to a point where you say, God, I can't fight this anymore. I cannot fight it in my flesh. I cannot fight it in my own ability. I need you to destroy the work of Satan. I need you to destroy the work of Lucifer in my life. Come on, somebody. Do we want to have revival? Do we want to have the kind of move of the Spirit that God wants to give us? Young people, how many more youth camps are you going to go to where you shout and you dance? I'm not saying all of you, but then you end up repeating the same patterns in your life. Anybody can shout. Anybody can dance. Anybody can run the aisles. But it takes somebody with character. It takes somebody that has the spirit of Jacob to get a hold of the altar and say, I am going to be committed. I am going to be sold out. I am going to be dedicated to the only cause that matters this side of heaven. And so, as we delve into it a little deeper, sinners and saints are also distinguished. So to commit sin here is to practice it, to live under the power and dominion of it. Who lives under it is of the devil. His sinful nature is inspired by and agreeable and pleasing to the devil. He belongs to his party and interest and kingdom of Satan. It is he that is the author and patron of sin and has been the practitioner of it as well, as a tempter and as an instigator, even from the beginning of the world when he tempted Eve in the Garden of Eden. He didn't stop with Eve. That's why after the fact that Adam and Eve committed sin, after they did what they did, he purposed right then and there that he was going to bruise the serpent under his feet. And that's why he came to Calvary, to destroy the works of the devil. The truth of the matter is, the majority of the time, the devil is not our problem. The devil has already been defeated. His future has already been sealed. The problem is the man and the woman you look in the mirror every day. The problem is the same Chris that I stare at in the mirror every day. I've got to kill this flesh every day. I've got to deny this flesh every day. I've got to pray every day. I've got to get in the presence of God every day of my life, or I don't have a prayer and I don't stand a chance. The devil is out to destroy ministries, families, churches. And that's why some of our ministers are falling into moral failure, and some of them are having issues and problems in their lives and in their home. It's because you get weary in the battle. You get weary in the fight. You stop praying. You stop fasting. And you get out of the Word, and then it gives the enemy an opening to get in. I feel the Holy Ghost telling me that somebody needs to shut the door once and for all in your life. Whatever you have to do to keep the devil out of your house, to keep the devil out of your heart, to keep him out of your mind, come on somebody. He will destroy the works of the devil if we will do our part. Talked about the mission of God being to dismantle, destroy, and dethrone Satan's dominion in our lives. When God destroys the work of Satan in our lives, he completes it, and this is where we've left off, by filling us with his spirit, by giving us power. Harabakashai. Harabokotoriyara mahashikaramai. The devil would deceive somebody into thinking because you received the Holy Ghost in 1980 whatever that's all you need. That's all you need. You've got it made. You're on your way to heaven. So you can live like you want to live, walk like you want to walk, talk like you want to talk. You can flirt with the world and its system. You can cuss and drink and smoke and sleep around and whatever else. Oh, yeah, I didn't get an amen on that one, but they talk about it in the world. They talk about it through radio talk shows. It's something that's become very acceptable in our day and time. They teach it in our schools, but yet we can't lift our voice over a Pentecostal pulpit about sex and pornography and about homosexuality that's destroying lives. He said that I have come to destroy the works of the devil, but we've got to let him do it. We've got to make up in our minds who we belong to. We've got to determine with everything that we have within our power that we're not going to give the enemy an inch. We're not going to give him room to work in our minds and in our lives and in our home. We're taking a stand. We're staking our territory. We're not giving up. The buck stops here. I'm not going to be defeated. That's as far as he is going to go. I don't know what it is, but I'm preaching tonight. Somebody has got an elephant in your home, and if you don't get him out, he's going to destroy you, and he's going to destroy everyone else around you. But the more you keep petting the elephant, the more you keep adoring him and talking about how cute he is, one day that elephant is going to grow into a full-grown beast. And you're going to have to remodel your home. He's going to be so fat and he's going to be so big. You're practically going to have to destroy your home to get him out. I've come to tell you, you need to get him out while he's still a baby. You need to get him out. I know we're not shouting like we were a moment ago, but God's trying to get personal. God is trying to say, I'm ready to have revival. I'm ready to break through with revival in your lives if you will deal with the issues in your life and call them what they are. Then I will manifest my glory, my power, my anointing. The Holy Ghost gives us power over sin. He has given a light in his mind to show him the evil and malignity of sin. So a bias is placed upon the heart of a child of God, which disposes him to loathe and hate sin with everything he has within us. There comes a point and there comes a time that we've got to get so full of the Holy Ghost that we hate sin. We hate lying. We hate covetousness. We hate adultery. We hate fornication. We hate all everything that violates. We hate murder. We hate hatred. We hate anything that's not of God. We hate profanity. We hate anything that obstructs the vision of God, the purpose of God, the plan of God in our lives. We hate anything that is impure and that is an abomination to Him. We hate the things that God hates. What are the things that God hates? A proud look. A lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked imaginations. He hates it. When are we, as the people of God, we say we want to be like Jesus, we say we want to be like Christ, but some of us, we flirt with the things of the world. Hallelujah. The number one sin that he hates is pride. I mentioned several things, but I'm telling you right now, pride is my number one pet peeve. There is nothing that makes my stomach turn more than somebody that thinks the whole world revolves around them. They're too good to be corrected. They're too good to be preached to. They're too good for you to give advice. And they're so full of themselves that every time you talk to them, it's all about me. I did this. I did that. If it wasn't for me, then that wouldn't happen. I'm a better preacher than Brother Grisham. I'm a better teacher than Sister Grisham. I'm a better this. I'm a better that. Come on, somebody. When we allow that to get a hold of us, the Bible says we're headed for a fall. We get caught up in our own pride. And that's what the main thing that Jesus came to destroy. He hates pride. The Bible said he made himself of no reputation, but he took upon himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Now, there is a difference. You get somebody walking into a room and without them intentionally trying to do it, you know, people recognize them because they like them, because they're friendly, because they're kind, because they're personable. They talk to people. They act interested about what's going on in people's lives. And at the end of the day, they have a lot of friends. And some people even label them as popular. But here's the problem. It's when we walk into a room and we expect everyone to bow down before us. We expect people to roll out the red carpet. We expect people to see us. We expect people to recognize us. Why am I being overlooked so much? Why am I not being noticed? Why am I not being used? I've got talents that are greater than the other people, than the other people in the church. You're bordering on a spirit of pride in your life that it's just a matter of time. You're going to be set up for the most fatal fall that you've ever had before. I was in Dallas, Texas several years ago for the big crusade that they had over at the Reunion Arena, the one that Brother Mark Morgan conducted, and America on Fire. I had to go get my car clean one day. The gentleman there at the car wash, one of them recognized that I was a preacher. The thing about me is I don't tell people that I'm a preacher. I just don't do it. That's how I am. I don't think the other my other friends are necessarily living in sin if they say that they're a preacher. But I don't tell people that I'm a preacher. When I go into a public place, when I go into an establishment, I just kind of let the chips fall where they may. And then the gentleman asked me, he said, "You're a preacher, aren't you?" I said, "Yes, sir, I'm trying to be." And then he said, "Yeah, I could tell by the way you carry yourself." And so that made me feel good. I tried not to be prideful about it. I tried not to let it go to my head. But you know what? It gave me a little boost, Brother Grisham. I mean, that was the kind word that I received for the day to encourage me. But then the other man, he said, "I've got a serious problem with people that go around telling other people what they are. If you have to tell people what you are, then you've got problems. People just need to live what they are." Amen. I don't even believe that it's... Now, some of you may disagree with me. It's your right to be wrong, of course. But the Bible says you'll know people by their fruits. We don't have to go telling the whole world that we're a Christian, that we're apostolic, that we're Pentecostal. They'll know by the way that we treat people. They'll know, by the way, that we whether we're rude or whether we're arrogant or whether we're overbearing and things of that nature. We talk about holiness. We talk about standards and separation, and we need to. But the truth of the matter is we need to live what we preach. We don't need to fly off the handle when things don't go our way. That is a form of pride, and that is a form of self-righteousness. Jesus said, I've come to destroy self-righteousness. I've come to destroy pride. I've come to destroy arrogance. I've come to destroy a haughty, pharisaical spirit in our lives. There is such a thing as being too holy. I believe it is possible to get so holy, to get so caught up in our spirituality that we forget it's all about it. It's all about Him. It's not about us. It's not about how much we pray. It's not about how much we fast. It's not about how much we read the Word or shout in church. Are we doing it to be seen? Are we doing it to be recognized? Are we doing it so that we can get on the pastor's nice list and not his naughty list? Or are we doing it unto God? And that's the number one thing that God hates. And that is the sin that every other sin hinges on. Murder hinges on pride. Lust hinges on pride. Hands that shed innocent blood hinges on pride. We have got to deal with the pride issue in our life. I've got to deal with it. We all have to deal with it. We have to get to a place where we're clothed in humility and sackcloth and ashes. And when that begins to happen, it's going to bust loose in a revival that we've never seen before. And so, there is a spiritual and seminal principle or disposition that breaks the force and fullness of sinful acts in all of our lives. This is what happens as Jesus comes to fully destroy and overthrow every spirit and issue in our lives that is not like Him. Some of us may have to get a piece of paper and write it down, what is spiritual and what is carnal, and break it down in our lives. The Bible says the carnal mind is enmity against God, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. You want peace in your life? You want victory in your life? You want to receive something from God? We've got to take our minds by the horns, and we've got to say, you're going to serve God whether you want to serve God or not. You're going to live for God whether you want to live for God or not. Come on, somebody! Do we still want to have revival? Do we still want to have a move of God? Do we still want to experience what we experienced last night? We've got to get a hold of ourselves, and we've got to get beyond who we are so God can fulfill His ultimate mission in our lives. The Spirit lusteth against the flesh. Therefore, in respect to such a sin, it may be said, it is no more I, but sin dwelleth in me. It is not reckoned the person's sin in the gospel account, where the bent and frame of the mind and the spirit are against it. The works of the flesh and the devil become destroyed in our lives as we consent with a disposition of humiliation and repentance of sin. When we become honest before God about ourselves, about who we are, and a spirit of David gets a hold of us, and we begin to say, and we begin to fall on our face in humility and cry out to God and ask Him to forgive us of anything and everything in our lives. That was the difference between David and Saul. When Saul was rebuked, he made excuses. He figured that he did a good thing. And then he was turned over to a spirit of witchcraft. You know how a spirit of witchcraft gets in a church? It's when pride begins to enter in. And we begin to feel like that no one can measure up to our level of spirituality. I'll tell you what another form of pride is. It's a dominant personality. Wow. Anybody? It got so quiet in here, I heard my keys. That's basically what it is. A spirit that runs over anyone and everyone. The pastor included. The pastor's wife included. Ooh, I'm touching some things. No, actually God is touching some things. He wants to destroy the works of the devil. But before he can destroy the works of the devil, it's got to be called out. A lot of times we talk about him destroying the works of the devil. Our minds automatically go to, well, he's going to shut down every bar in Athens. Or he's going to clean out every bar. He's going to stop every party. He's going to stop all the devil worship. That's what the scripture means. But the truth of the matter is, we wouldn't have those things if there wasn't things wrong right here. Right here. We've got to be the opposite of sin. We've got to be the opposite of unrighteousness. And so, notice, the unregenerate person is morally unable for what is religiously good. The regenerate person is happily disabled for sin. There is a restraint, an embargo laid upon his sinful nature and powers. It goes against him sedately and deliberately to sin. Our opinion of one who has integrity suggests that he cannot lie. He absolutely cannot lie. His or her life is an open book. What you see is what you get. But this is where I have a problem. It's when people come up and tell me, Bubba, what you see is what you get. You'll know them by their fruits. That's what the Bible says. And I'm thinking in my mind, okay, you're telling me what you see is what you get. I'm wondering if God is seeing the same thing that I'm seeing. It's a cover-up. It's a facade. It's not the real person. And that's something else that God began to talk to me about. And he began to tell me so strong is we have to get to a place in our life that we get real with God. We must have an open book toward him. We must be honest. I'm not asking people to broadcast everything in your life. I'm not calling for public confession tonight. I'm not even calling for private confession. But I'm asking some of us to get to a place in our life that we're honest enough with God so that God can complete his mission in our lives and destroy the work of the devil. I'm trying to get through. Thus, as we expose the works of Satan in our lives, then Jesus will destroy and ultimately deliver his people. A few more things. We must understand God's purpose in our lives. Jesus Christ came into the world to fulfill what was written in the Old Testament, not to abolish it, not to do away with it. Matthew 5:17. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. So this principle totally wipes out and obliterates the idea that it doesn't matter how we live, for we are under grace. We're under grace. So we can live the way that we want to live. Because after all, He died on Calvary. It's because of His love. It's all about grace. It doesn't have anything to do with works. We don't have to change our life. We don't have to change the way that we do things. There's no point in going all the way to maturity. We're just going to be a baby for the rest of our life, because after all, we're covered in grace. But the Bible says, yes, He came with mercy. Yes, He came with grace. He came to restore, but He also came to reaffirm the law and the prophets and the role that the law fulfills in our lives. And so, the Gospel of John further validates the purpose of why Christ came into the world. John 3:17. The musicians can go ahead and get ready. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. At His first coming, Jesus came that the world through Him might be saved. In the second coming, He will judge those who refuse and reject His offer of salvation. Calvary and the cross made it possible for all mankind to be saved. Jesus Christ destroyed Satan through the death of the cross and through His ascension into hell. So this establishes why He came to destroy the works of the devil. Hebrews 2:14. For as much as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, He also knoweth likewise took part of the same, that He brought death, He might destroy him that had the power over death, that is, the devil. God was manifest in flesh. The Son became human so that He could destroy the devil and release those who were in bondage to sin. He shared our humanity by humbling Himself to become a man. Satan's mission is to deliver people unto death, and death by the penalty of their sin. But His power was stripped from Him, for Christ's death fulfilled the penalty of their sin. As we place our trust in God, we can be free once and for all. Let's close our eyes for just a moment. For the past two nights, it has been very intense. We have covered some very hard personal issues and territory. But I believe right now at this point and at this time, God is calling this church to a certain level of commitment, a certain level of consecration. And He proved and He manifested by His power and that is and His glory that we witnessed 24 hours ago, that if you'll continue to follow my lead and you'll continue to follow my plan and my purpose, I will fulfill my promise. I wonder, as we stand tonight, if there's anyone in this place, you're thankful for what happened in your life last night, but you want to go a little further. God is calling somebody to let go. Let go. Let go. Manda ke to remandi kishi ekete. Remandorobo koshe katare bahakare mahesha. There's somebody here tonight. You are bound by your past. You're bound by the mistakes and the sins of yesteryear. And you have felt self-condemnation. That is the work of the enemy. That is the work of Satan in your life. Hashanabokai. It's time for you to let it go. It's time for you to forgive the offender and ultimately forgive yourself and let it go. Handa bokoshai. God wants to heal. God wants to make people whole. God wants to lift people to a whole new dimension of victory and freedom. There's already people coming, but you've got to let it go. You've got to lay it down. You've got to put it upon an altar and let it die. Oh, God. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. Will somebody respond to the call of the Spirit right now? Oh, God. God's going to build us up. And He's going to begin the process of building us up. But for the past two nights, He's been breaking some things down in our life. He's been tearing down some walls and some strongholds. I feel to speak something else. We could hold the music for just a moment. Thank you. Every head bowed and every eye closed. I have preached to people tonight that you are dealing with inferiority complexes in your life. You have basically told yourself, I am no good. I am a loser. You have felt inadequacy within yourself. And that sense of inferiority, the enemy's been lying to you and saying you'll never amount to anything. You'll never be used of God. You'll never reach that place in God. I've come to deal with that lie once and for all. We need to stop looking at ourselves and coming to the conclusion of what we think of us. We need to think about what God thinks of us. We're a child of God. We are not our own, but we have been brought with the price. The blood of Jesus is flowing throughout this place tonight to give people freedom, to give people liberty. Come on, somebody. Come on. Hallelujah. It's not the will of God for you to live in depression. It's not the will of God for you to live in isolation. It's not the will of God for you to live in anxiety and fear. He said, I have come to destroy the works of the enemy. God is on a mission tonight. God, this is not just a revival. God has a mission for this church and individuals in this church. I wonder if anyone else wants to come and pray. That's it. This altar is open. Let's respond. Come on, that's it. That's it. You know who you are. Don't cheat yourself out of a blessing. I'm making a general appeal for us to come and gather around as a church. If you're physically able to come tonight, God is ready to work. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. He's ready to do that work. Maraki. Eremakotori eremahekai. Eremarasiki oromondi eremahai. Sotopokone aramahasikotolomohosa. Shekete in the ahakarameh sokolomaha. The Lord would have me tell somebody tonight that what has seemed to have taken years for Him to build and to establish in your life, He's ready to complete the work in just a matter of minutes. If you will just fully surrender. I fully surrender my heart, everything that I have. Shanda ke nohore mahasikie. Sheke pa tele mohoko siana. Shiko toromonde yikondolo mohusha. Mandaraka shatara mandarabakatara mahakatere meheshai. Hirabaka shatara mandarabakai. Shekatara mandeyara mahakatolo mohoshiki taramaha. Shatara mandarabareka tolo moriki taramaha randiere maha. Shokotolo mahaya. Andalaboko shandalabakatara mahashika andalabahaya. Ishandalabakatolo mohoshaya. Andalaboko shaya. Ishana bahaya. Ashandala kataya la mahanda yara mahashaya. Hirabakaya. This is what I feel from God right now. Hear the word of the Lord. I want you to keep praying. I don't want to stop what God is trying to do, but this is what I feel. And I know that I'm stepping out and I'm opening myself up for criticism and misunderstanding. I'm aware of all those things. But the truth of the matter is, I don't know what it is, because there's some things that I simply do not want to know. But I do know for a fact that the Holy Ghost is telling me right now that there are some things going on behind the curtain in private that if they are not dealt with tonight, God is fixing to expose it. God is fixing to open the curtain. And I say it with all humility. And I say it with great care and great concern. Again, I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's a moral issue. I don't know if it's it's a secret meeting or some kind of secret plot that you're scheming and that you're planning. But there needs to be repentance tonight. I don't know who you are either. I'm totally clueless as to who you are. The person may not even be here tonight for all I know. But I do know that the Holy Ghost is speaking, and it's time for us to get honest. Come on, He's here to help us tonight. He's here to help us tonight. Shandabayede mahakotole mahashiki. Shekete anamandolo boko shikatara mahaya mahanda. Ashete de mari karamari aramasiki aramai. Shandika yene mohoshai. Shekata yene mohokore yamahashai. Okay. All right. I'm going to tell you what it is. Every head bowed and every eye closed again. I'm going to tell you what it is. It's not a moral situation. But there's something going on right now, even as we speak. I don't know who you are, but it's all about other people in the church, and it's never about you. The problem is not with other people. The problem is not with people that get on your nerves or people that are not doing things like you think they ought to be doing. The problem is you, sir. The problem is you, ma'am, whoever you are. You've got to repent. You've got to get your spirit right. You have got to allow the Lord to cleanse your spirit tonight and cleanse you from all filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit. And even as I speak, you have tried to come up with ways and plans of how to get to the person or get to the people, to try to attack them or put them in a situation where they feel awkward or they feel like that their back somewhat is against the wall, to make them look good and to make you look bad. I don't know if it's someone in leadership that you're trying to get to or somebody in the church, but that spirit that is ruling your life, it is not of God. It is of the devil. It is of the devil. And the Bible says, I have come to destroy the works of the devil. Again, every head bowed and every eye closed. I have just simply done what the Lord has asked me to do. And now it's up to us to respond, to make it right. It may mean you going to the individual. It may mean you going to the individuals. Or it may just mean you repenting here right now. This is basically what the Lord has presented, and now it's up to us to take responsibility. That's what it's all about. God's wanting us to take ownership. God's wanting us to take responsibility. I was planning on going another direction tonight, but the Holy Ghost was dealing with me all day in prayer. You need to keep talking about my mission. You need to keep talking about my purpose and about my plan. Come on, somebody. We're closer than we've ever been before. We just need to give up that one last thing. That one last thing. That's it. Somebody just ask God to forgive you and just determine that you're going to make it right. I'm making it right tonight. Forgive me, Lord. Cleanse me, Lord. Alamaya nahaya. Eyanai toromo sanda keremaya sandoloboka. Hallelujah. 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 Let's go ahead and let the music play. Shatarabarakaramandaramohoshai. Oh, God. It's the will of God for us to be free. God, free us within ourselves. Free us within our lives right now. Oh, God. That's it. Cry out to God until you can't cry out no more. Oh, God. Come on, that's it. Surrender. Surrender.
Breakthrough, tear down the wall, let everything fall, 'cause I want to praise you. I need you to break through.
Oh God, come on, surrender to the will of God. Surrender to the will of God. Shandarabaka Toromo. Shekatana
Maha. Let everything fall. 'Cause I want to praise you. With nothing between you and me. I need you to break.
Oh God.
Break through the pride, break through.